heavier than the last, each step a memory of his friend, an image of the kingdoms they had seen, the enemies they had fought, the quiet moments that no song would ever mention. Yet the songs would mention this, that the lion fell before the western gate of Orinth, defending the city and his son. If they survived today, if they somehow lived, the bards would sing of it. Even with the chaos of the Khaganate soldiers and Dargon cavalry streaming for the city. Silence fell where Rowan strode down the battlement stairs, bearing Gavriel. He barely managed a grateful, relieved nod to a battered and bloody Enda and Selene, catching their breath with a cluster of their cousins by the remnants of their catapults. His blood and kin. Yet the warrior over his shoulder? Gavriel had also been family, even when he had not realized it. The impossible, hideous weight at his shoulder grew worse with every step, to where Adian stood at the foot of the stairs, the sword of Orinth dangling from his hand. "He could have stayed," was all Adian said, as Rowan gently set Gavriel down on the first of the steps. "He could have stayed." Rowan looked at his fallen friend, his closest friend, who had gone with him into so many wars and dangers, who had deserved this new home as much as any of them. Rowan closed Gavriel's unseeing eyes.
"I will see you in the afterworld."
Adian's golden hair hung limp with blood and sweat, the ancient sword in his hands caked with black blood. Soldiers streamed past him, down the battlement stairs. Yet Adian only stared at his father, a bloodied rock in the stream of war. Then Adian walked into the streets. Tears and screaming would come later. Rowan followed him.
"We need to prepare for the second part of this battle," Adian said hoarsely, "or we won't last the night."
Already, Enda and Selene were using their magic to haul fallen blocks of debris against the western gate. The stones wobbled, but moved. It was more power than Rowan could claim. Rowan turned to climb back up the walls, and didn't dare let himself look behind them, to where he knew soldiers were moving Gavriel deeper into the city. Somewhere safe. Gone. His friend. His brother was gone.
"Your Highness!"
A panting, blood-splattered Rook rider stood on the battlement wall. He pointed to the horizon.
"Darkness veils much of it, but we have an estimate for the oncoming army."
Rowan braced himself.
20,000 at a minimum.
The rider's throat bobbed.
"Their ranks are filled with Vog, and 6 Karen Kui."
Not Karen Kui, but the 6 Vog princesses who had infested them. Rowan willed himself to shift. His body refused. Gritting his teeth, he peeled back the armor on his shoulder and reached for the wound. But it had sealed, trapping the iron shard within, keeping him from shifting, from flying to Aelin, wherever she was.
He had to get to her. Had to find Fenris and Lorcan and find her before it was too late.
But as the night fell, as he freed a dagger and lifted it to the sealed wound in his shoulder, Rowan knew it might already be. Even though the gods were now gone, Rowan still found himself praying. Through the agony as he ripped open his shoulder, he prayed that he might reach Aelin in time. They had survived this long, against all odds and in defiance of ancient prophecies. Rowan dug his knife in deeper, seeking the iron shard wedged within.
Hurry. He had to hurry.
Chapter 109. Kaol's back strained, pain lashing down his spine. Whether from his wife's healing within the castle walls, or from the hours of fighting, he had no idea. Didn't care, as he and Dorian galloped through the southern gate into Orinth, the two of them little more than unmarked riders amid the army racing in. bracing for the impact of the fresh host marching toward them. Night would soon fall. Morath would not wait until dawn, not with the darkness that hovered above them like some sort of awful cloud. What flew and scuttled in that darkness? What waited for them? Dorian was nearly slumped in his saddle, shield strapped over his back, Damaris sheathed at his side.
You look how I feel,
Kaol managed to say. Dorian slid sapphire eyes toward him, a spark of humor lighting the haunted depths.
I know a king shouldn't slouch, he said, rubbing at his blood and dirt splattered face. But I can't bring myself to care.
Kaol smiled grimly.
We have worse to worry about.
Much worse. They hurried toward the castle, turning up the hill that would take them to its doors, when a horn cut across the battlefield. A warning. With the view the hill offered, they could clearly see it. What sent the soldiers racing toward them with renewed urgency? Morath was picking up speed. As if realizing that their prey was on its last legs and not wishing to let them recover. Kaol glanced to Dorian, and they reined their horses back toward the city walls. The Coggan soldiers did so as well, running down the hills they'd been scaling, back toward the battlements, and the hell soon to be unleashed upon it once more. Slumped against a dead wyvern, Aelin drained the last of her water skin. Beside her, Ansel of Briarcliff panted through her gritted teeth while healer's magic pulled the edges of her wound together. A nasty, deep slice to Ansel's arm. Bad enough that Ansel hadn't been able to hold a weapon. So they had halted, just as the tide of the battle had shifted, their enemy now fleeing Orinth's walls. Aelin's head swam, her magic down to the dregs, her limbs leaden. The roar of battle still buzzed in her ears. Covered in gore and mud, no one recognized either queen where they'd fallen to their knees, so close to the southern gates. Soldiers ran past, trying to get into the city before the army at their backs arrived. Just a minute. She needed to only catch her breath for a minute. Then they'd hurry to the southern gate. Into Orinth. Into her home. Ansel swore, swaying, and the healer shot out a hand to brace her. Not good. Not at all. Aelin knew what and who marched toward them. Lysandra had returned to the skies long ago, rejoining the rebel Ironteeth and Crokins. Where Rowan now was, where the cadre was, she didn't know. Had lost them hours or days or lifetimes ago. Rowan was safe. The mating bond told her enough. No mortal wounds. And through the blood oath, she knew Fenris and Lorkin still breathed. Whether she could say that for the rest of her friends? She didn't know. Didn't want to know. Not yet. The healer finished Ansel, and when the woman turned, Aelin held up a hand.
Go help someone who needs it,
Aelin rasped. The healer didn't hesitate before she hurried off, sprinting toward the sound of screaming.
We need to get into the city,
Ansel murmured, leaning her head against the ironclad hide behind her.
Before they shut the gate.
We do,
Aelin said, willing strength to her exhausted legs so she might stand, assess how far away that final crushing host was. A plan. She'd had a plan for this. They all had. But time hadn't been on her side. Perhaps her luck had faded with the gods she'd destroyed. Aelin swallowed against the dryness in her mouth and grunted as she got to her feet. The world swayed, but she stayed upright, managed to grab the reins of a passing Dargon rider and order her to stop. To take the red-haired queen half delirious on the ground. Ansel barely protested when Aelin heaved her into the saddle behind the soldier. Aelin stood beside the felled wyvern, watching her friend until she'd passed through the southern gate, into Orinth. Slowly. Aelin turned to the rising wave of darkness. She had doomed them. Behind her, the southern gate groaned shut. The boom echoed into her bones. Soldiers left on the field shouted in panic, but orders went out. Form the lines, ready for battle. She could do this. Adjust the plan. She still scanned the skies for a white-tailed hawk. No sign of him. Good. Good, she told herself. Aelin shut her eyes for a heartbeat. Put a hand on her chest, as if it might steady her, prepare her for what squatted in the approaching darkness. Soldiers shouted as they rallied, the screams of the injured and dying ringing throughout, wings booming everywhere. Still, Aelin remained there for a moment longer, just beyond the gates to her city, her home. Still, she pressed her hand to her chest, feeling the heart thundering beneath, feeling the dust of every road she had traveled these 10 years to return here. For this moment. For this purpose. So she whispered it to herself one last time. The story. Her story. Once upon a time, in a land long since burned to ash, there lived a young princess who loved her kingdom. Irene had halted her healing only for a few minutes. Her power flowed, strong and bright, undimming despite the work she'd been doing for hours. But she'd stopped, needing to see what had happened. Hearing that their soldiers, with victory in hand, had fled back to the city walls, had only sent her running for the castle battlements faster, Elide with her, as she had been all day helping her. Elide winced as they took the stairs up to the battlements, but made no complaint. The lady scanned the crowded space, looking for someone, something. Her gaze settled on an old man, a child with remarkable red-gold hair beside him. Messengers approached him, then darted away. A leader. Someone in charge, Irene realized after Elide did, already limping to them. The old man faced them as they approached, and started at the sight of Elide. Irene stopped caring about the introductions as her gaze landed on the battlefield. On the army, another army, marching on them, half-veiled in darkness. 6 Karen Kui at their front lines. The Khagan soldiers had gathered by the walls, both outside and within the city. The southern gate now stood closed. Not enough. Not nearly enough to face what marched, fresh and unwearied. The creatures she could just barely make out teeming within its ranks. Volg princesses. There were Volg princesses amongst them. Kaol. Where was Kaol? Elide and the old man were speaking. We cannot face that number of soldiers and walk away, the lady said, her voice so unlike any tone Irene had heard from her, commanding and cold. Elide pointed to the battlefield. The darkness. Holy gods, the darkness that massed over it. A chill slithered over Irene's body. Do you know what that is? Elide asked too quietly. Because I do. The old man only swallowed. Irene knew it then. What was in that darkness? Who was in it? Erewhon. The last of the sun vanished, setting the bloody snows in hues of blue. A flash of light flared behind them, and the child whirled, a sob breaking from her throat as a stunningly beautiful woman, bloodied and battered, appeared. She wrapped a cloak around her naked body like a gown, not even shivering with the cold. A shapeshifter. She opened her arms to the girl, embracing her. Lysandra, Kaol had called her, a lady in Aelin's court, unknown niece to Falcon Anar. Lysandra turned to the old man. Adian and Rowan sent up the order, Darrow. Any who can are to evacuate immediately. The old man, Darrow, just stared toward the battlefield. At a loss for words as that army prowled closer and closer and closer. as two figures took form at its head, and walked, unhindered, toward the city walls, darkness swarming around them. Erewhon, the golden-haired young man. She'd know it if she were blind. A dark-haired, pale-skinned woman strode at his side, robes billowing around her on a phantom wind.
Maeve,
Lysandra breathed. People began screaming then, in terror and despair. Maeve and Erewhon had come to personally oversee Orinth's fall. They stalked toward the city gates, the darkness behind them gathering, the army at their backs swelling. Pincers clicked within that darkness. Creatures who could devour life, joy.
Oh, gods.
Lord Darrow, Elide cut in, sharp and commanding. Is there a way out of the city? Some sort of back door through the mountains that the children and elderly could take?
Darrow dragged his eyes from the approaching Volg king and queen. It was helplessness and despair that filled them, that broke his voice as he said,
No route that will allow them to escape in time.
Tell me where it is, Lysandra ordered, so they might try at least.
She grabbed for the girl's arm,
so Evangeline might try to run.
A defeat. What had seemed like a triumphant victory was about to become an absolute defeat. A butchering, led by Maeve and Erewhon, now a mere 100 yards from the city walls. Only ancient stone and iron stood between them and Orinth. Darrow hesitated. In shock. The old man was in shock. But Evangeline pointed a finger, out toward the gates, toward Maeve and Erewhon.
Look!
And there she was. In the deepening blues of descending night, amid the snow beginning to fall, Aelin Galathinius had appeared before the sealed southern gate, had appeared before Erewhon and Maeve. Her unbound hair billowed in the wind like a golden banner, a last ray of light within the dying of the day. Silence fell. Even the screaming stopped, as all turned toward the gate. But Aelin did not balk, did not run from the Volg queen and king who halted as if in delight at the lone figure who dared face them. Lysandra let out a strangled sob.
She has no magic left.
The shifter's voice broke.
She has nothing left.
Still, Aelin lifted her sword. Flames ran down the blade. One flame against the darkness gathered. One flame to light the night. Aelin raised her shield, and flames encircled it too. Burning bright, burning undaunted. A vision of old, reborn once more. The cry went down the castle battlements, through the city, along the walls. The queen had come home at last. The queen had come to hold the gate. Chapter 110. Her name was Aelin Ashriver Whitethorn Galathinius, and she would not be afraid. Maeve and Erewhon halted. So did the army poised behind them, a final blow of the hammer ready to land upon Orinth. The magic in her veins was little more than a sputtering ember. But they did not know that. Her shaking hands threatened to drop her weapons, but she held firm, held fast. Not one more step. Not one more step toward Orinth would she allow them to make. Maeve smiled.
What a very long way you've traveled, Aelin.
Aelin only angled Goldrin, met Erewhon's golden stare. His eyes flared as he took in the sword, remembered it. Aelin bared her teeth, let the flame she fed into the sword glow brighter. Maeve turned to the Volg king.
Shall we then?
But Erewhon looked at Aelin and hesitated. She would not have long, not long at all, until they realized that the power that made him hesitate was no more. But she had not remained outside the southern gate to defeat them, only to buy time. for those in the city she loved so greatly to get away, to run, and live to fight tomorrow. She had made it home. It was enough. The words echoed with her every breath, sharpened her vision, steeled her spine. A crown of flame appeared atop her head, swirling and unbreakable. She could never win against both of them. But she wouldn't make it easy. Would take one of them down with her if she could. Or at least slow them enough for the others to enact their plan, to find a way to either halt or defeat them. Even if either option seemed unlikely. Hopeless. But that was why she remained here. To give them that slim shred of hope, that will to keep fighting. At the end of this, if that was all she was able to do against Erewhon and Maeve, she could go to the afterworld with her chin held high. She would not be ashamed to see those she had loved with her heart of wildfire. So Aelin sketched a bow to Erewhon, and said with every remaining scrap of bravado she possessed, "We've met a few times, but never as we truly are." She winked at him. Even as her knees quaked, she winked at him. "Pretty as this form is, Erewhon, I think I miss Parrington, just a little bit." Maeve's nostrils flared, but Erewhon's eyes slitted in amusement. "Was it fate, you think, that we encountered each other in Rifthold, without recognizing the other?" Such casual, easy words from such horrible, corrupt filth. Aelin made herself shrug. "Fate or luck?" She gestured to the battlefield, her wrecked city. "This is a far grander setting for our final confrontation, don't you think? Far more worthy of us." Maeve let out a hiss. "Enough of this." Aelin arched a brow. "I've spent the past year of my life, 10 years, if you consider it another way, building to this moment." She clicked her tongue. "Forgive me if I want to savor it. To talk with my great enemy for longer than a moment." Erewhon chuckled, and the sound grated down her bones. "One might think you were trying to delay us, Aelin Galathinius." She beckoned to the city walls behind her. "From what? The keys are gone, the gods with them." She threw them a smile. "You did know that, didn't you?" The amusement faded from Erewhon's face.
"I know."
Death. Such terrible death beckoned in his voice at that. Aelin shrugged again. "I did you a favor, you know." Maeve murmured. "Don't let her talk. We end this now." Aelin laughed. "One would think you were afraid, Maeve, of any sort of delay." She turned to Erewhon once again. "The gods had planned to drag you with them, to rip you apart." Aelin gave him a half smile. "I asked them not to, so you and I might have this grand duel of ours." "How is it that you survived?" Maeve demanded. "I learned to share," Aelin purred, "after all this time." "Lies," Maeve spat. "I do have a question for you," Aelin said, glancing between the two dark rulers, separated from her by only the swirling snow. "Will you be sharing power, now that you're both trapped here?" She gestured to Maeve with her burning shield. "Last I heard, you were hell-bent on sending him home, and had gathered a little army of healers and Doranel so you might destroy him the moment you got the chance." Erewhon blinked slowly. Aelin smiled. "What will you do with all those healers now, Maeve? Have you two discussed that?" Darkness swirled around Maeve's fingers. "I have endured enough of this prattling."
"I have not," Erewhon said, his golden eyes blazing.
"Good," Aelin said. "I was her prisoner, you know, for months. You'd be surprised how much I picked up.
About her husband, your brother, about the library and his castle, and how Maeve learned so many interesting things about world walking. Will you share that knowledge, Maeve? Or is that not part of your bargain? Doubt. That was doubt beginning to darken Erewhon's eyes. Aelin pressed. She wants you out, you know. Gone. What did she even tell you when your word key went missing? Let me guess. The King of Otterlin snuck into Morath, killed the girl you'd enslaved to be your living gate, destroyed your castle, and Maeve arrived just in time to try to stop him but failed? Did you know that she worked with him for days and days trying to get the key from you? That is a lie, Maeve snapped. Is it? Shall I repeat some of the things you said in your most private meetings with Lord Erewhon here? The things the King of Otterlin told me. Erewhon's smile grew.
You always had a flair for the dramatic. Perhaps you are lying, as my sister claims.
Perhaps I am. Perhaps I am not. Though I think the truth of your new ally's backstabbing is far more interesting than any lie I might invent.
Shall we tell you another truth, then?
Maeve crooned.
Do you wish to know who killed your parents?
Who killed Lady Marion?
Aelin stilled. Maeve waved a hand to Erewhon.
It wasn't him. It wasn't even the King of Otterlin. No. He sent a low-ranking Volg prince to do it. He couldn't even be bothered to go himself. Didn't think anyone important was really necessary to do the deed.
Aelin stared at the queen, at the Volg king, and then arched a brow. Is that some attempt to unnerve me? You're thousands of years old, and that is all you can think of to say? She laughed again, and pointed to Erewhon with Goldrin. She could have sworn he flinched away from the flaming blade. I feel sorry for you, you know? That you've now shackled yourself to that immortal boar. She sucked on a tooth. And when Maeve sells you out, I suppose I'll feel a little bit sorry for you then, too.
See how she talks, Maeve hissed. That has always been her gift, to distract and babble while...
Yes, yes, but as I said, you have the field. There's nothing left that can really stop you.
Except for you, Erewhon said.
Aelin pressed her shield against her chest.
I'm flattered you think so, she flicked up her brows, though I think the 200 healers we've got in the city right now might be a little offended that you forgot them, especially when I've watched them so diligently expel your Volg grunts from the hosts they infected.
Erewhon stilled. Just a fraction. Or... is that another lie? Aelin mused.
A risky thing for you to do, then, to enter this city.
My city, I suppose. To see who's waiting for you?
I heard you went to an awful lot of trouble to try to kill one of my friends this summer.
Silva's heir.
If I were you, I might have been more thorough in trying to end her. She's here, you know. Came all this way to see you and repay the favor. Aelin let her flame grow brighter as Erewhon again hesitated. Maeve knew. She knows that the healers are here, waiting for you, and will let them at you. Ask her where her owl is, the healer she keeps chained to her, to protect her from you.
Don't listen to her nonsense, Maeve spat.
She even made a bargain. To spare their lives in exchange for ridding her of you. Aelin waved Goldrin toward Orinth. You're walking into a trap the moment you enter the city. You and all your little Volg friends. And only Maeve will be left standing in the end. Lady of all. Maeve's shadows rose in a wave.
I have had enough of this, Aelin Galathinius.
Aelin knew Maeve would go on ahead. Without Erewhon. Work without him if need be. The Dark King looked toward Maeve and seemed to realize it too. Maeve's black hair flowed around her.
Where is the King of Otterlin? We would have words with him.
Simmering vicious rage pulsed from the queen. Aelin shrugged. Off fighting somewhere? Likely not bothering to think about you. She inclined her head. A valiant effort, Maeve, to try to divert the conversation. She turned to Erewhon. The healers are waiting for you in there. You'll see I'm telling the truth. Though, I suppose it will be too late by then. Doubt. That was indeed doubt in Erewhon's eyes. Just a crack, an open doorway. And it would now be upon Irene and the others, to seize it. She had not wanted to ask, to plan this. Had not wanted to drag anyone else in. But she trusted them. Irene, her friends. She trusted them to see this through. When she was gone, she trusted them. Maeve stepped forward.
I hope you have enjoyed yourself these past few moments.
She bared her two white teeth. All traces of that cool grace vanished. Even Erewhon seemed to blink in surprise at it, and again hesitated. As if wondering whether Aelin's words had struck true.
I hope you are entertained by your prattling idiocy.
Eternally so, Aelin said with a mocking bow.
I suppose I'll be more entertained when I wipe you from the face of the earth.
She sighed skyward.
Gods above, what a sight that will be.
Maeve extended a hand before her, darkness swirling in her cupped palm.
There are no gods left to watch, I'm afraid, and there are no gods left to help you now, Aelin Galathinius.
Aelin smiled, and Goldrin burned brighter. I am a god. She unleashed herself upon them. Rowan pried free the shard of iron from his shoulder as Maeve and Erewhon arrived. As Aelin went to meet them before the walls of Orinth. His magic guttered within his veins, but he clapped a hand to his bleeding arm as he ran for the southern gate, willed the healing. Flesh stung as it knitted together. Too slowly. Too damn slowly. But he couldn't fly with a shredded wing, as he'd surely have if he shifted now. Block after block, through the city that would have been his home, he ran for the southern gate. He had to get to her. A warning shout from the battlements had him throwing up a shield on instinct, just as a siege ladder collided with the wall above him. Morath's foot soldiers spilled over it, into the awaiting blades of both Coggan soldier and Bane warrior. Too many. Iron Teeth clashed with Crokins above them. Iron Teeth bearing several Morath foot soldiers apiece. They deposited them on the battlements, on the streets. People screamed. Further into the city, people were screaming, fleeing. Only a few blocks to the southern gate, to Aelin. And yet, those screams of terror and pain continued. Families. Children. Home. This was to be his home. Already was if Aelin were with him. He would defend it. Rowan drew his sword and hatchet. Fire burst beyond the walls, bathing the city in gold. She couldn't have more than an ember. Against Erewhon and Maeve, she should already be dead. Yet her flames still raged. The mating bond held strong. White flashed beside him. And then there was Fenris, stained with blood and snarling at the soldiers pouring over the walls. One neared them, and a swipe of a mighty paw was all it took for the grunt to be in pieces. A swipe, and then a burst of black wind. Lorkin. They halted for all of a heartbeat. Both males looked to him in question. They knew full well where Aelin was, what the plan had been. Another blast of flame from beyond the walls. But the screams of the innocent in the city. She would never forgive him for it. If he walked away. Rowan angled his weapons, turned toward the screaming.
We swore an oath to our queen and this court,
he snarled, sizing up the soldiers pouring over the walls.
We will not break it.
Even three of the great powers of the realm battling before the city gates was not enough to halt the war around them. Morath swarmed, and the exhausted Cognate army turned to meet them once more, to meet the new horrors that emerged, beasts of snapping teeth and baying howls, Ilkin sailing above them. No sign of the Volk princesses, not yet. But Elide knew they were out there. Morath had emptied its darkest pits for this final destruction. And on the plain, before the gates, fire and darkness blacker than the fallen night warred. Elide didn't know where to look, at the battle between the armies, or the one between Maeve and Erewhon and Aelin. Irene remained beside her, Lord Darrow, Lysandra, and Evangeline watching with them. A flare of light, an answering wave of darkness. Aelin was a fiery whirlwind between Maeve and Erewhon, the fighting swift and brutal. She had no power left. Before the word gate had ripped it from her, Aelin might have been able to face one of them and emerge triumphant. But left with a whisper of power, and after a day of wielding it on this battlefield, Maeve and Erewhon didn't know. They didn't know that Aelin was only deflecting, not attacking, that this drawn-out dance was not for the spectacle, but because she was buying them all time. Down in the dark beyond the walls, soldiers died and died. And in the city, as siege ladders breached the battlements, Morath surged into Orinth. Still, Aelin held the gate against Erewhon and Maeve. Didn't let them get one step closer to the city. The final sacrifice of Aelin Galathinius for Terrasen. The moment they realized Aelin had nothing left, it would be over. Any amusement they felt at this shallow exchange of power and skill would vanish. Where were the others? Where was Rowan, or Lorcan, or Dorian? Or Fenris and Gavriel? Where were they? Or did they not know what occurred before the city gates? Lysandra's breathing was shallow. Nothing. The shifter could do nothing against them. And to offer Aelin assistance might be the very thing that made Erewhon and Maeve realize the queen was deceiving them. There was no gentle voice at Elide's shoulder. Not anymore. Never again would she hear that whispering, wise voice guide her.
See,
Aneth had always murmured to her.
See.
Elide scanned the field, the city, the queen battling the Volg rulers. Aelin did nothing without reason. Had gone out there to buy them time, to wear the Volg rulers down just a bit. But Aelin could not defeat them. There was only one person who could. Elide's eyes landed on Irene, the healer's face ashen as she watched Aelin. The queen would never ask that of them, of Irene. But she might leave a path open. Should Irene, wish to take it? Noticing her stare, Irene tore her attention away from the battle. What? Elide looked to Lysandra, then to the city walls, to the flash of ice and flame along them. She saw what they had to do. Chapter 111. Nezrin had not anticipated the Ilkin, how terrible even a few dozen would be. Nimble and vicious, they swept over the front lines of Morath's teeming ranks, black as the fallen night, and more than eager to meet the Rooks in combat. Sartak had given the order to unleash whatever burning arrows they could find. The heat of one scorched Nezrin's fingers as she picked a target amongst the dark fray and fired. The flame speared into the night, right for an Ilkin poised to tear into a Dargon horse. The arrow struck true, and the Ilkin's shriek reached even Nezrin's ears. The Dargon rider stabbed deep with his Sulde, and the Ilkin's screeching was cut off. A lucky, brave blow. Nezrin was reaching for another arrow and supplies when the Dargon rider fell, not dead. The Ilkin was not dead, but feigning it.
The beautiful horse's scream of pain rent the night as talons ripped open its chest. Another slash, and the rider's sternum was shredded.
Nezrin fumbled for the flint to light the oil-soaked cloth around the arrowhead.
Up and down the battlefield, Ilkin attacked. Riders, both equine and Rukin, fell.
And looming at the back of the battlefield, as if waiting for their grand entrance, waiting to pick off what was left of them, a new sort of darkness squatted. The Volg princesses, in their new Karen Kui bodies. Erewhon's final surprise.
Nezrin aimed and fired her arrow, scanning for Sartak. The prince had led a unit of Rukin deeper into the enemy lines, a battered Borte, Falcon, and Yeren flanking him.
A desperate final push. One that none of them were likely to walk or fly away from.
Irene's breath was tight in her throat, her heart a wild beat through her entire body, yet the fear she thought she'd yield to had not taken over. Not yet. Not as Lysandra, in Rook form, landed on the city walls, steadily enough that Irene and Elid could quickly dismount. Right where Kaol and Dorian fought, a desperate effort to keep the Volg off the walls. The smallest of their concerns. For nearby, slaughtering their way closer, those were Ilkin. Silba save them all.
Kaol saw her first, his eyes flared with pure terror.
Get back to the castle.
Irene did no such thing. And as Dorian turned, she said to the king,
We have need of you, your majesty.
Kaol shoved from the wall, his limp deep.
Get back to the castle.
Irene ignored him again. So did Dorian, as the king gutted the Volg before him, shoved the demon over the wall, and hurried to Irene.
What is it?
Elid pointed to the southern gate, to the fire that flared amid the attacking darkness.
Dorian's blood-splattered face drained of color.
She has nothing left.
We know,
Elid said, her mouth tightening.
Which is why we need you.
Kaol must have realized the plan before his king. Because her husband whirled to her, shield and sword hanging at his sides.
You can't.
Elid quickly, succinctly explained their reckless, mad idea. The Lady of Perranth's idea. Irene tried not to shake. Tried not to tremble as she realized that they were indeed about to do this. But Elid merely climbed onto the shifter's leathery back and beckoned the king to follow. And Dorian, to his credit, did not hesitate. Yet Kaol dropped his sword and shield to the bloody stones and gripped Irene's face between his hands.
You can't,
he said again, voice breaking.
You can't.
Irene put her hands atop Kaol's and brought them brow to brow.
You are my joy,
was all she said to him. Her husband, her dearest friend, closed his eyes. The reek of Volg blood and metal clung to him, and yet beneath it, that was his scent, the smell of home. Kaol at last opened his eyes, the bronze of them so vivid, alive, utterly alive, full of trust and understanding and pride.
Go save the world, Irene,
he whispered, and kissed her brow. Irene let that kiss sink into her skin, a mark of protection, of love that she'd carry with her into hell and beyond it. Kaol turned to where Dorian sat with Elid atop the shifter, the love on her husband's face hardening to something fierce and determined.
Keep her safe,
was all Kaol said. Perhaps the only order, Irene realized, he would ever give his king. Their king. It was why she loved him, why she knew that the child in her womb would never spend a single moment wondering if it was loved.
Dorian bowed his head.
With my life.
Then the king offered a hand to help Irene onto Lysandra's back.
Let's make it count.
Manon's chest burned with each inhale, but Abraxos flew unfalteringly through the melee. So many. Too many. And the new horrors that Morath had unleashed, the Ilken amongst them. Screams and blood filled the skies. Kraken and Iron Teeth and Rooks. Those were Rooks, fought for their very existence. Any hope of victory that Aelin Galathinius had brought with her was slipping away. Manon and Abraxos smashed through the Iron Teeth lines, diving to rip apart Ilken and Foot Soldier. Windcleaver was a leaden weight in her hand. She could no longer discern her sweat from blood. The Queen of Terrasen had come, an army with her, and it would still not be enough. Lorcan knew Maeve had come, could feel her very presence in his bones, a dark, terrible song through the world, a Vogue song. He fought far down the city walls, Whitethorn and Fenris nearby, Adian unleashing himself upon soldier after soldier, with a ferocity that Lorcan knew came from deep, brutal grief. Gavriel was dead, had died to give his son and those at the Western Gate a chance to shut them again. Lorcan tucked away the pang in his chest at the thought of it, that the lion was no more. Which of them would be next? Light flared beyond the wall. Darkness devoured it. Too swiftly. Too easily. Aelin had to be insane. Must have lost all her wits if she thought she could take on not just Maeve, but Erewhon too. Yet Rowan halted. Would have been run through by a Vogue soldier if Lorcan hadn't hurled a dagger straight through the demon's face. With a nod to Lorcan and Fenris, Rowan shifted, a hawk instantly soaring over the walls. Lorcan looked to Fenris, found the male bristling, aware of the change beyond the walls. It was time. "We finish this together," Fenris snarled, and shifted as well, a white wolf leaping clean off the battlements and into the city streets below, toward the gate. Lorcan glanced at the castle, where he knew Elide was watching. He said his silent farewell, sending what remained of his heart on the wind to the woman who had saved him in every way that mattered. Then Lorcan ran for the gate, to the Dark Queen who threatened all he'd come to want, to hope for. He'd come to hope, had found there was something better out there. Someone better. And he'd go down swinging to defend all of it. It was a dance, and one that Aelin had spent her entire life practicing. Not just the movements of her sword, her shield, but the smirk she kept on her face as she met each blast of darkness, as she realized over and over and over who her dance partners were. Where they advanced a step, Aelin sent out a plume of fire. Didn't let her own doubt show, didn't dare wonder if they could tell that the fire was mostly color and light. They still dodged it, avoided it, waiting for her to plunge down deep to make that killing blow they anticipated. And though her fire deflected the darkness, though Goldrin was a burning song in her hand, she knew their power would break through soon. The keys were gone, and so was the Firebringer. They would have no use for her, no need to enslave her, save to torment her. It could go either way, death or enslavement. But there would be no keys, no ability for Erewhon to craft more wordstone or bring in his Vogue to possess others. Aelin lunged with Goldrin, spearing for Erewhon as she raised her shield against Maeve. She sent a wave of flame searing for their sides, herding them closer together. Erewhon blasted it back, but Maeve halted. Halted. While Aelin leaped away a step, panting. The coppery tang of blood coated her mouth, a herald of the looming burnout. Maeve watched Aelin's flame sizzle through the snow, melting it down to the dried grasses of Theralis, an undulating sea of green in the warmer months, now a muddy, blood-soaked ruin. "For a god," Maeve said. Their first words since this dance had begun minutes or hours or an eternity ago.
You do not seem so willing to smite us.
Symbols have power, Aelin panted, smiling as she flipped Goldrin in her hand, the flame hissing through the air. Strike you down too quickly, and it will ruin the impact. Aelin drew up every shred of swaggering arrogance and winked at Erewhon. She wants me to wear you down, you see. Wants me to tire you, so those healers up in the castle can finish you off with little trouble.
Enough!
Maeve slammed out her power, and Aelin lifted her shield, flame deflecting the onslaught. But barely. The impact rippled into her bones, her blood. Aelin didn't let herself so much as wince as she hurled a whip of flame toward Maeve, and the Dark Queen danced back. Just wait. She'll spring the trap shut on you soon enough.
She is a liar and a fool, Maeve spat. She seeks to drive us apart because she knows we can defeat her together.
Again, that dark power rallied around Maeve. The Dark King only stared at Aelin with those golden burning eyes and smiled.
Indeed. You...
He paused. Those golden eyes lifted above Aelin, above the gates and wall behind her, to something high above. Aelin didn't dare to look, to take her attention away for that long, to hope. But the golden Erewhon's eyes glowed with rage and perhaps a kernel of fear. He twisted his head toward Maeve.
There are healers in that castle.
Of course there are. Maeve snapped.
Yet Erewhon stilled.
There are skilled healers there, ripe with power.
Straight from the Torre Chesme, Aelin said, nodding solemnly. As I told you. Erewhon only looked at Maeve, and that doubt flickered again. He glanced to Aelin, to her fire, her sword. She bowed her head. Erewhon hissed at Maeve.
If she spoke true, you are carrion.
And before Aelin could muster an ember to strike, a dark, sinewy form swept from the blackness behind Erewhon and snatched him up. An Ilken. Aelin didn't waste her power trying to down them, not with the Ilken's defenses against magic. Not with Maeve tracking Erewhon as he was carried into the skies. Over the city. Against two Volg rulers, she should have already been dead. Against the female before her, Aelin knew it was still just a matter of time. But if Irene, if her friends could take down Erewhon?
Just us, then,
Maeve said, lips curving into that spider's smile, the smile of the horrendous creatures that launched themselves at Orinth. Aelin lifted Goldrin again. That's precisely how I wanted it, she said.
Truth. But I know your secret. Heir of fire.
Maeve crooned. And struck again. Chapter 112. Atop the highest tower of the castle of Orinth, on the broad balcony that overlooked the world far below. The healer sent out another flare of power. The white glow seared the night, casting the tower stones in stark relief. A beacon, a challenge to the Dark King who battled Aelin Galathinius below. Here I am, the power sang through the night. Here I am. Erewhon answered. His rage, his fear, his hatred filled the wind as he swept in, carried in an Ilken's gangly limbs. He smiled at the young healer whose hands glowed with pure light, as if already tasting her blood, savoring the destruction of what she offered, the gift she'd been given. His sheer presence set people in the castle below screaming as they fled. Not death incarnate, but something far worse. Something nearly as ancient, and almost as powerful. The Ilken swept over the tower, dropping him onto the balcony stones. Erewhon landed with the grace of a cat, barely winded as he straightened, as he smiled at her.
I never thought you'd do it, you know,
Maeve said, her dark power coiling around her as Aelin panted. A cramp had begun low in her back, and now lashed its way up her spine, down her legs.
That you'd be foolish enough to put the keys back into the gate. What happened to that glorious vision you once showed me, Aelin? Of you in this very city, your worshipping masses crying your name. Was it simply too dull for you to be revered?
Aelin rallied herself with every breath, Goldrin still burning bright. Let her talk, let her gloat and ramble. Every second she had to recover, to regain a fraction of her strength, was a blessing. Erewhon had taken the bait, had let the doubt she'd planted take root in his mind. She had known it was only a matter of time until he sensed Irene's power. She only prayed Irene Towers was ready to meet him.
I had always hoped that you and I were true equals, in a way, Maeve went on. That you, more than Erewhon, understood the true nature of power, of what it means to wield it. What a disappointment that deep down, you wished to be so ordinary.
The shield had become unbearably heavy. Aelin didn't dare look behind her to see where Erewhon had gone, what he was doing. She'd felt Irene's flare of power, had dared hope it might even be a signal, a lure. But nothing since then. It had drawn Erewhon away, though. It was enough. The darkness around Maeve writhed.
The queen who was promised is no more, she said, clicking her tongue. Now you're nothing but an assassin with a crown, and a commoner's gift of magic.
Twin whips of brutal power speared for Aelin's either side. Throwing up her shield, swinging Goldrin with her other arm, Aelin deflected, flame flashing. The shield buckled, but Goldrin burned steady. But she felt it. The familiar, unending pain. The shadows that could devour, pressing closer, eating away at her power. Maeve glanced to the blazing sword.
Clever of you, to imbue the sword with your own gifts. No doubt done before you yielded everything to the word gate.
A precaution, should I not return, Aelin panted. A weapon to kill Volg.
We shall see.
Maeve struck again, forcing Aelin to concede a step, then another. Back toward the invisible line she'd drawn between them and the southern gate. Maeve stalked forward, her dark hair and robes billowing.
You have denied me two things, Aelin Galathinius. The keys I sought.
Another whip of power sliced for Aelin, her flame barely deflected it this time.
And the great duel I was promised.
As if Maeve opened the lid to a chest on her power, plumes of darkness erupted. Aelin sliced with Goldrin, the fire within the blade unfaltering. But it was not enough. And as Aelin retreated another step, one of those plumes snapped across her legs. Aelin couldn't stop the scream that shattered from her throat. She went down, shield scattering in the icy mud. Training kept her fingers clenched on Goldrin. But pressure, unbearable and slithering, began to push into her head.
Wake up.
The world shifted. Snow replaced by firelight, the ground for a slab of iron. The pressure in her head writhed, and Aelin bowed over her knees, refusing to acknowledge it. Real. This battle, the snow and blood, this was real.
Wake up, Aelin,
Maeve whispered. Aelin blinked and found herself in the iron box, Maeve leaning over the open lid, smiling.
We're here, the Fae Queen said,
not Fae. Volg. Maeve was Volg.
You've been dreaming,
Maeve said, running a finger over the mask still clamped to her face.
Such strange wandering dreams, Aelin.
No. No, it had been real. She managed to lift her head enough to peer down at herself. At the shift and too thin body, the scars still on her. Still there. Not wiped away. No new skin.
I can make this easy for you,
Maeve went on, brushing Aelin's hair back with gentle, loving strokes.
Tell me where the word keys are, swear the blood oath, and these chains, this mask, this box, all of it will go away.
They hadn't yet begun to tear her apart. All of it a dream, one long nightmare. The keys remained unbound, the lock unforged. A dream, while they'd sailed here, wherever here was.
What say you, niece? Will you spare yourself, yield to me?
You do not yield. Aelin blinked.
It's easier, isn't it?
Maeve mused, bracing her forearms against the lip of the coffin.
To remain here, so you needn't make such terrible choices. To let the others share the burden, bear its cost.
A hint of a smile.
Deep down, that's what haunts you. That wish to be free.
Freedom. She'd known it. Hadn't she?
It's what you fear most. Not me or Erewhon or the keys. That your wish to be free of the weight of your crown, your power, will consume you. Embitter you until you do not recognize your own self.
Her smile widened.
I wish to spare you from that. With me, you shall be free in a way you've never.